The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. Tisku L'mitzvot.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Isaac Shehbad in honor of his parents Jack and Marilyn. Hashem Alehem Yehyu. Amen.
Daf Mem. Today's daf is being dedicated in memory of Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihanu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Amiruhemet Sheneftirit Bekitzur Yamin Veshanim Mazal Bat Frida. Ruach Hashem Tanihana began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Refuah Shelema Hacham Obadiah Yosef ben Gurjia El La Refana Lo Betok She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on daf mem, and we are 7 lines down, right at the beginning, first word, starting with shvi'it. Just to review where we're holding in this sugya, we learned in our Mishnah that one should not purchase an etrog from an ama'aris during the Shemitah year, because the money that is going to be purchased is going to become kadosh, because it's considered the money of Shemitah as well. And the Kiddushah on the money can only be used, that money can only be used for certain things. For example, to buy food specifically for the Shemitah year. Now, being that an Ama'aris is really not careful when it comes to these laws, we're concerned that he might spend the money either on something he's not allowed, or he might store the money, might put it in the bank, and that's going to be Asur. So by buying an etrog from the Ama'aris, you're setting him up to commit a sin. And therefore you're going to transgress the isur of the Fnei Iver, lo titen mikshol. So the Gemara said, why are you only concerned about the etrog? How come you're concerned about the lulav also? Seemingly, you shouldn't be able to buy the lulav. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a lulav that was grew in the 6th year, and it was picked in the 7th year. So when it comes to lulavim, you go after when it grew. And since it grew in the 6th year, it's not subject to Shemitah, therefore you don't have a problem. So the Gemara says, so say the same case by the Yitrog. I'll say the case of the Yitrog was it grew in the 6th year, which in all probability it did grow in the 6th year. We're not talking about an Yitrog that grew between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, 2 weeks. So therefore must have grown in the 6th year, and you plucked it in the 7th year. So the Gemara says, now when it comes to etrogim, you judge the year based on when it was plucked. Sha'at lekitato. And therefore, since it was nilkat, since it was plucked in the 7th year, it's considered a shvi'it, it's considered shemitah. So the Gemara said, well, who's the opinion that says that etrog goes after the lekita? The Gemara quoted a statement over here, and we saw, it's actually the Mishnah, Ben Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Rabban Gamliel, those Tanaim held that really etrog does not go after lekita, it goes after hanata. Hanita is when it emerges. That's really in the 60th. So the Gemara is asking, which opinion is our Tana going like? So the Gemara said, it's actually going like the rabbis from Usha. Right? We've quoted a statement. It was actually a Braita. And we saw the Braita actually was on the 3rd line. We can read that again. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Abtul Moseid Mishum Amisha Zekenim, Etrog Ahar Lekita Lema'asir. The first rabbi says that Etrog goes after the Lekita regarding Ma'asir, meaning every year of the Shemitah cycle, there's a different ma'asir that one has to give. Meaning some years a person gives what's called ma'asir sheni, other years he gives what's called ma'asir ani. So in order to know which year you're holding, the first rabbi says that you judge it from when you pluck the etrog. For example, if you pluck the etrog in the third year, even though it grew in the second year, you plucked it in the third year, it's subject to ma'asir ani. If you plucked it in the fourth year, even though it grew in the third year, it's subject to ma'asir sheni. That was the first opinion. But the rabbis in Usha voted and said, ben l'ma'asir, ben l'shevi'it. They came along and said, well, ben ma'asir, ben shevi'it. Not only for ma'asir, we go after the lekita, but also for shevi'it, we go after the lekita. So the Gemara asks, shevi'it man dechar sheme. Who's discussing shevi'it? Which is in the Braita, there was only discussion of ma'asir. Who threw in shevi'it? So the Gemara says, hasure me'asara v'achi ketanim. Braita is actually missing some words, and this is the way you're supposed to read it. Etrog ahar lekita le'ma'asir, v'ahar hanata le'shevi'it. So in Tanakama, you have to add the law of Shevi'it. Tanakama said that the law of Shevi'it goes after Hanata when it emerged. But the rabbis in Usha came along and said, Etrog, Batalikita, Ben the Maaser, Ben the Shevi'it. Whether it's Maaser, whether Shevi'it goes after the Likita. Now, we should just read the top Rashi, okay, which is really part of yesterday's daf, but very important Rashi. We saw the opinions that said that regarding Ma'aser, we saw opinions that say that Yitro goes after the Likita, goes after when it is plucked. So Rashi says, She'im hanat b'shana sheniya, if let's say it emerged in the second year, shema'asirotea ma'asir rishon u'ma'asir sheni, second year, it's a ma'asir sheni year, v'nilkat b'shlishit, but it was plucked in the third year, l'shmita, shema'asirotea ma'asir rishon u'ma'asir ani, right, third year is ma'asir ani, mit'asir kedin ma'asir shlishit, it goes following the ma'asir of the third year, v'ilushar ilanot, however, that's by the etrog tree, however, other trees, shehantu pirotein b'shliya, that they emerge the fruits in the second year. V'nilketu b'shlishit, they were plucked in the third. Mit'asrin kedin sheniya, they goes after the second year. So etrogim are different than normal trees. The normal tree for ma'asir goes after the hanita, and etrog goes after the lekita. U'ne'inyan ma'asir, now regarding ma'asir, hishvu etrog liyarak. Etrog is similar to vegetables. The ma'asir perot ha'ilan v'yirakot d'rabbanan. So she gives us rules here. Regarding giving ma'asir from fruit and vegetables, it's only d'rabbanan. Min ha'Torah, you only have to give ma'asir on wheat. U'ma'asir gorin v'yekev, wheat and grapes, d'oraita. Okay? U'begorin v'yekev, and regarding the granary and the vineyards, yalfina and berosh shana with it, rosh hashanah mitaser achar hashana sheviu shlish. The law is when the fruit emerged a third of its growth, that's the year of its maaser. For example, the year that the wheat grew a third of its maturity, or the grapes, that's already considered the year. Mikra'eh. Now you learn it from Pesukim. V'smichu Rabbanan ma'asir divrehem agorim v'yekim. Now the ma'asir of the Rabbanan, meaning the ma'asir of vegetables, the rabbis gave rules, and they said like this. Ma'agorim v'yekim miyuhadim shekidlim adrov ma'ayim, just like wheat and the grapes, they grow on the majority of water, da'inu me'gishami, meaning they suffice to grow on rainwater, and the ma'asir is on the year before, not the year that it was plucked, the year that it emerged. So to anything that grows specifically by rainwater, for example, fruit trees, fruit, it'll also take ma'asir based on the year that it emerged. Yatsu yirakot, to the exclusion of vegetables, shegedelim al kol mayim. It doesn't grow specifically by rainwater. Vegetables need a lot of water. They don't only suffice on rainwater, but they need also irrigation. Shemitasirin l'shena ba'a. The ma'asir is Not when it emerges, but actually when it was plucked. Ve'etrog namig gadil al kol mayim kiyarak. And etrog is similar to a vegetable in the sense that it grows also on all waters. I mean, it not only relies on rainwater, but also relies on the water of irrigation. So that's just the logic why the etrog is similar to a vegetable in the sense that, for ma'asir, it goes after the kitah. And now, the Gemara continues. Comes the Gemara and says, Ta'ama delulav bar shishit anichnas l'shevi'itu. The only reason why you told me that the lulav is not subject to the law of Shemitah is because it emerged in the sixth year, right? It was plucked in the seventh. So you told me by the lulav, you go after when it emerged, right? It's like a tree. And therefore, since it emerged in the sixth year, you have no problem of Shemitah. So the Gemara makes an implication. Ha, the shevi'it kadosh. But if it emerged in the seventh year, and you plucked it, let's say, either in the seventh year or the eighth year, so then it would be kadosh. So the Gemara says, why? Am I? It seem be'almahu. Well, lulav is not a fruit. All lulav is a piece of wood. It's a tree. There it seem, and behem mishum kedushat shevi'it. And we have a rule that trees, wood, is not subject to the laws of shevi'it. Detanya. So we have a statement. Ale kanin, that would be the leaves of the reed, kanim. Va'ale gefanim, that would be the grape leaves. Shegebavan lechova, you collected them lechova. So that she says, what does the word lechova mean? And she says, lashon mahbe, in order to store them, meaning to hide them. You collected these in the field, you want to store them. Alpene asadeh, from the field. Now, liktan la'achila, if the purpose that you pluck them from the field is in order to use them for eating, not for human consumption, but for the animals, yesh pe mishum kedushat shevi'it. So then already they have the status of shevi'it, and if you have to treat them with all the laws of Shemitah. Liktan le'etzim. However, if your intention when you were picking these items was for etzim, meaning to use them as wood for fuel, so you see what? You see over here that wood, the items that are for etzim, are not subject to Shemitah. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, let's just read Rashi. Ta'ama dedula bar shishit. Kushahi, kelomar. Le'el amar dainu ta'ama delulav nikach. The reason why you told me you could take lulav from the amar is mishum de bar shishitu, because it grew in the sixth year. Hashivi'itu, implying that if it grew in the seventh year, asur. The nafkamina, what's the nafkamina? Shilulav es shivi'it, kedushat shivi'it no egbu. Meaning, you're going to tell me that a seventh year lulav has to be treated with kedushat shivi'it. Shiluli kach bedmehem haluk v'tim, and you're not going to be able to, let's say you sold that lulav, the money is going to have to be treated with kedushat. And if you're not going to be able to buy, a talit with it or other items, you have to only buy your food with it, because the money of shevi'it also has kedusha. So comes the Gemara says, now shani adam. The case over there is different of the case where you were collecting these ale kanim and ale gefanim. Why? Gemara shani adam ve'amar kera. Regarding the laws of Shemitah, the pasuk says lachem le'ochla. The full pasuk says Vayeta Shabbat Ha'aretz, that the year of the Shemitah will be lachem, for you, le'ochla. Now seemingly those words are contradictory. Lachem is mashma, you can do whatever you want with the fruit. Le'ochla is mashma, you can only eat. Well, make up your mind, can you do anything you want? Lachem, is it yours, or is it davka le'ochla? So the Gemara wants to make a comparison between the words lachem and le'ochla. Lachem dumya de la'achila, which means what you're allowed to do with it is things that are similar to achila, to eating. Well, what's the properties of eating? One thing about eating is, the way you get rid of something by eating, the pleasure that you have happens simultaneously at the time that you're getting rid of it. So when you eat something, you're getting pleasure. But at the time that you're having your pleasure, you're also getting rid of the fruit. What do you do? Because you're swallowing it, you're eating it. So therefore, only things that the hana'a comes simultaneously with its bi'ur, with its destruction. So that's type of items that are mutar to do with the fruit.
So that's why eating is permissible, because the hana'ah that you're having, the pleasure and the bi'ud, the getting rid of it, happens at the same time. Yes'u etzim, to the exclusion of wood. Why? Shana'atan achar bi'uran. When you use fuel, right? The fuel, first you have to burn it. Right now, at the time of burning it, you're destroying it. But that's not when you're getting the benefit. The benefit is not till after it's burnt, when it turns into a coal, then already you're benefiting from the fuel. So therefore, it's not like eating. Eating at the time of the pleasure, that's when you're getting rid of it. That's okay, it's mutar. Masha'enken, it seems at the time that you're benefiting it, already you got rid of it first. So you got to burn it first, then the pleasure comes after. So therefore, using stuff for wood is not subject to the law of Shemitah. So now let's go back and discuss what the guy did over there in the fields. The guy went collecting Ale Kanim and Ale Gefanim. Now these items are not really specifically designated for anything. It's 50-50. Some people use them for Achila, and some people use them for Etzim. So therefore the Gemara says it depends on what the guy's Kavanah is. If the guy's Kavanah is for eating purposes, so then already has a din of eating, therefore that's Kiddushav Shivgait. If the guy's coming out when he's collecting from the field is for Etzim is no subject of Shemitah. Good. Now we got to go discuss for a second the Lulav. A Lulav, Rashi tells us, besides the mitzvah that you do with it, what does a Lulav stand for? A Lulav in the olden days used to stand as a broom. Okay, you used to sweep the floors with the Lulav. It's perfect as a broom. Now, when you sweep the floors, you're getting the Hana'ah. Right, it's that now you're sweeping the floor. And at the time of the sweeping, you're destroying the lulav. Because when you sweep the lulav breaks. So therefore, it's a case of hana'ah and bi'ud happening simultaneously. So therefore, since the lulav is similar to achila, so therefore, the hana'ah and the bi'ud is happening simultaneously. So therefore, seemingly, it would be okay. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Shehana'ato ubi'uro shaveh." Let's read that. Kelomar, "Shehana'ato ubi'uro shemitba'ir min ha'olam." Now, when it gets destroyed from the world, "Ba'in ke'at kegon sicha." In that case, for example, when you're anointing yourself with the fruit, ushtiyah, you're drinking it, vadlakataner, or you're benefiting from the light. From here we learn also, fine. Now, yatsu etze asaka, next Rashi, to the exclusion of fuel, that the pleasure is not until after the bi'ud. Mishna'asu gehalim, only after it becomes a coal, ofim bayim. Aba lulav, ikara na'ato lechabed et habayit. The main thing of a lulav is the sweeping the house. Vihu sha'at bi'uro v'kilkulo. At the time of the destruction, that's when you're having the ana'a. V'damela ana'at achila. And therefore it's similar to the law of achila. Therefore you're right, a lulav of the that emerged in the seventh year, really would be mutar, because it's a type of item that's designated like akhila, that's hana'ato ubi'uro ba'im kehad. Now, va'ale kanim v'gefarim, now regarding those ale kanim v'gefarim, kaim le'achu le'achim, it's 50-50. People use both, use it for eating or fuel. Hilkach batar machshava azle, therefore goes after the machshava, goes after what the guys Kavana is. Good. So basically the Gemara's rule is, wood is not subject to the laws of Shemitah. Right? So again, the Gemara's question over here was what? Gemara's question was that we have a rule that etzim, they do not have kiddushat shvi'it. And what was the Gemara's proof? The Gemara said the guy that's collecting these Ale Kanim and Ale Gefarim, if he's collecting them for the purpose of wood, right? So therefore, the Gemara says, no, that's because over there, wood is used for fuel. And since the fuel, the Hana'ah and the Bi'ud is not happening simultaneously, doesn't have Kiddushat Shvi'it. However, things that happen simultaneously do have Kiddushat Shvi'it. Do have Kiddushat Shvi'it. For example, eating. A regular fruit, the way you benefit from it is eating it. And since the eating is happening simultaneously of the bi'ud, therefore you have to treat it with Kiddushat Shvi'it. Therefore, I repeat, a lulav would have Kiddushat Shvi'it. Because its hana'ah is sweeping, and at the time it is sweeping, you also ruining the lulav, you're getting rid of it. So therefore, a lulav of the shvi'it is not considered wood. Wood is different, because wood is used for fuel. Masha'ikar lulav, which is standing for sweeping, and since the hana'ah of sweeping and the destruction of the lulav simultaneously, it would have a law of shemitah. And therefore, and you're right, you have to be careful. In a 7th year lulav, you'd have to be concerned about the laws of shemitah. So the Gemara says, hold it, you're telling me a rule. All wood is not subject to the laws of Shemitah. Why is that so? Va'ika etzim d'mashchan. You have etzim d'mashchan, that she says, etz shemen. Like a balsam tree that has oil. Now, what do you do with that tree? That she says, sha'etz atzmon b'dlikin bo. They would light this wood, le'air. It's like a torch. They would use it as a illumination. Kemo b'avukot. Which means when you light and burn the wood of Mashha, the pleasure and the destruction is happening simultaneously. Because when do you get the pleasure? You don't have to wait till it turns into a coal. The pleasure is happening immediately when you get the illumination. So therefore, how could you tell me above? You gave me a rule. You told me if you have wood, wood is not subject to the law of Shemitah. What are you talking about? It's not so. I'll show you a type of wood that is subject. This is a case where the hana'a, the pleasure of illumination and the destruction of it, happens simultaneously. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Seta me'etzim ulasaka hen omdim. We're talking about stam etzim. Generally speaking, the normal usage of wood is for fuel. So when we made the statement above and said, you know, etzim are not subject to Shemitah, we're talking about etzim that the normal function of them is for fuel. But you're right, if you have a type of wood that using it for illumination, you're right, it will be subject to the laws of Shemitah. When we said the law of etzim, we were speaking about what the normal usage of etzim is. Okay, Rashi. Umishani setam etzim shelesek lasakan nitanu. Right, the normal wood that you're burning is for fuel. Nitnu the b'riyot v'staman lav la'ir kaimu. Staman is not for illumination. Hilkach lo nachta b'ukidushat shevi'it meikara. V'afilu liktan la'ir. Now that she says a chadush. Even if you gathered them with the intention to illuminate, since that's not the main function, the purpose of these type of normal woods, it's not going to have the law of Shemitah, right? To actually do it, which is the kavanah, is not going to be enough. In any event, the Gemara comes along and says now. Gemara says, "Va'ika." So we read that. Okay. Amar Rasta says, "Okay." Va'isim la'asaka tamei. Now the Gemara says, "This law that we just said above, that etzim that are designated." For hasaka, for fuel, are not subject to the laws of Shemitah, because the pleasure and the destruction of it are not happening simultaneously. You should know that that's actually subject to a machloket tanaim, which means it's not universally accepted. It's a machloket tanaim on this. Okay, now how do we know that? Okay, Netanya, we have a blaita. En mosrin perot shvi'it. You're not allowed to use the fruit of shvi'it. Lo l'mishra. Mishra literally means soaking. What does soaking mean? So what they would do is sometimes they would take, let's say, flax. And flax you soak. So that she says, let's say you have wine of Shemitah. You cannot soak flax in the wine of Shemitah. Okay? Soaking. Velo lechibusa. Right? For laundering. Now you want to wash clothes in the, she actually says, lechbos begadim biyayin shel shvi'it. You want to use wine in order to launder the clothes. Okay, so that she says on the bottom two lines, Mashre v'chivusa, the common denominator between soaking in the wine of Shemitah or laundering is Hana'atan Achar Bi'uran. The pleasure comes after you destroy it. Why? Because what's the pleasure in laundering? When you wear it. Now, the wearing happens after. And the pleasure also in the flax. It only happens after you soak it. Now she says, Shemesha'as Shurah Begadim Wa Pishtan Beyayin Sha'ah Achatet Ba'ed. Right? Once you're soaking it, already you're destroying the wine. However, ve'avad ve'anato yina achil ba'shevegadim. But that is not until you wear it. And what does Tanakama say? Em moslim perot shevi'i, lo le'mishra, ve'lo le'chibusa. So what do you see over here? That this opinion holds that even though the hana'ah is not coming till later, it's still going to be forbidden. Because we said etzim is okay, why? Because the hana'ah comes, the hana'ah is happening later, etzim. Hana'ah happens after you destroy it. Here also the hana'ah happens after, and still the rabbis are saying over here, it's asur. So we found an opinion, Tanakama holds, that even if the hana'ah happens after, still it's going to be asur. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef says, no, Mosrin. Rabbi says, no, you can use it for those items. So now, so we see that actually have a mahloket, Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef, in a case where the hana'ah is happening after the bi'ur, is it going to be asur or not? So Tanakama is saying, yeah, even though it's going to happen after, it's not happening simultaneously, it's still subject to the laws of Shemitah. And Rabbi Yosef says, no. Now my Tama, the Tanakama, what's the reason of Tanakama? The Amar Kera, Le'okhla. The Pasuk says that you're allowed to do with the Shemitah fruits is what? Le'okhla, you're allowed to eat them. Ve'lo le'mishra, ve'lo le'chibusa. But it's coming to exclude why you're allowed to eat them, but you cannot soak in them. Nor could you launder in them. My Tamad Rabbi Yosef, Amar Kera Lachem. He says, no, I go with the word Lachem. And what does Lachem teach me? Lachem Lechol Surchechem. Use it for whatever you want. Vafidu Lemishra Velchevusa. And even if you want to launder in it and soak in it. Vetarakama Vaketiv Lachem. What does Tarakama do with the word Lachem? Ha'u Lachem Dubiad Lachila. He learns the word Lachem Simatachila. Mishanato Ubi'uro. Shaveh, which means it's only type of pleasures what that the hana'ah and the bi'ud happens sometimes like eating. Yatzu mishra v'chibusa, right? To the exclusion of mishra and chibusa, soaking and laundering. Shana'atan achar bi'uran, right? That their hana'ah happens after the bi'ud. So that's going to be, according to Tanakama says, asur. V'nebi yoseh haketiv le'okhla. Or what does the bi'yoseh do with the word le'okhla? Rabbi Yosef learns like this. You're only allowed to eat the fruits of Shemitah, but you're not allowed to use it for milugma. Milugma is medicine, medicinal purposes. Kedetanya le'okhla ve'lo le'milugma. Now we have a bright that says you can eat the fruit of Shemitah, but you cannot use them for milugma, is medicinal purposes, medicine. You're telling me that for eating purposes is not for medicinal purposes. Maybe it's coming to tell me you can use it for laundering. When it says lachem, it's coming to include kibusa, even the laundering. So what is le'okhla must coming to tell me? Le'okhla ve'lo le'melugma. So bottom line of your sister is like this. Le'okhla comes to exclude eating, yes, medicinal, no. When it says lachem, it's coming to include even laundering and soaking, Rabbi Yosef. So therefore, one word le'okhla excludes medicine, and one word lachem includes melugma. I mean, includes kibusa and shiriya. So the Gemara says, "Mara ita lerabota the kibusa ulatzita melugma." Who told you to include laundering and exclude medicine? I'm going to tell you the opposite. Marbe ani ita kibusa. So the Gemara says, you know, I'll tell you why. I'm including kibusa sheshaveh bechol adam. Jeez, everybody, it's normal practice to launder clothes and soak pishtan. People need that. And therefore, it's like eating. Just like eating is a normal function. So therefore, and it's mutar, but in the period of shafi'i, so through soaking and doing these things, soaking and laundering, just considered normal function, it's mutar. Umotziya milugma, but I'm going to exclude milugma she'ena shave lechol adam. But that's not shave lechol adam, because it's not a normal. Not everybody has takes medicine. So therefore, that was the logic of Rabbi Yoseh, why he says medicine asur in the perot of Shavi'it, but the other items are normal functions mutar. Now, let's just review what we just learned now in this braita, because now we have to apply this braita back to the subject that we said above. According to Rabbi Yoseh, when the pasuk says "Vayeta Shabbat Ha'aris Lachem Le'ochla," right, for eating purposes. So really, what the pasuk is teaching, according to Rabbi Yoseh, you're allowed to use the perot of Shavit for normal items. I mean, eating is considered normal. That would be like the way the Gemara will refer to it is "Adavar Shaveh Lechol Nefesh." Items that are normally done by majority of people. Laundering is considered permissible. Soaking in the wine of Shemitah would be considered permissible. Right? Now, even though if the Hana'ah and the Bi'ur are not simultaneous, when you soak, it's not happening simultaneously, and still Rabbi Yoseh says, it's okay. So you see, obviously, that according to Rabbi Yoseh, he doesn't go with this business of Hana'ah and Bi'ur happening simultaneously, right? Because he holds you're allowed to soak, you're allowed to do these items also, even though that's not Hana'ah and Bi'ur, okay? Now, his main item is, it has to be a Hana'ah that's normally done by the majority of people, like eating, etc. And therefore, according to the Biyoseh, we could say, and this is the proof, according to the B.O.C., wood, you're right, wood is not Hana'ah and Bi'ur simultaneously. The wood, the Hana'ah doesn't come till after. But that's not the B.O.C.'s rule. The B.O.C.'s rule, if it's a normal Hana'ah that people have, it's going to be subject to the laws of Shemitah. And therefore, bottom line, wood, even though the Hana'ah is not Shaveh at the time of the Bi'ur, according to the B.O.C., wood is going to be subject to the law of Shemitah. It's going to have Kedushat Shavi'it. Which means, just like he said, food are subject to the laws of Shemitah, right? And he tells me that what? That you're allowed to soak, let's say, and soak. So what do you see according to him? That the laws of Shemitah apply to eating and to other normal natural items, even if the Hana'ah is not coming simultaneously with the Bi'ur. And therefore, wood lekavanah also should be subject to the laws of Shemitah. Even though the Hana'ah is not coming at the time of the Bi'ur, still it's going to be subject to Shemitah. Okay? So it comes out, according to Tanakama, no, Tanakama's rule is no. Da'af got things that are like Achila. Just like Achila is Hana'ah and Bi'ur Shaveh, simultaneous. So therefore, only those type of items are subject to Shemitah. That's why the laws of soaking doesn't apply, and the laws of laundering doesn't apply. Which means the Torah only allows you to do Achila, because Hana'ah and Bi'ur Shaveh. But the, and therefore, according to them, since Etzim, Etzim are not subject to Shemitah either, because Ba'al and the Hana'ah is not Shaveh to the, at the time of the Bi'ur. So it comes out, we have a Mahloket, is the review, we have a Mahloket Tana'im on this subject, is wood subject to the rules of Shemitah or not? Okay, Mahloket actually Tanakama and Rabbi Yoseh. Okay? Okay, and what's the basis of this mahloket? The basis of this mahloket is when we talk about, let's say, the wine of Shavi'it, according to Tanakama, you're not allowed to em muslim perot Shavi'it lo l'mishra velo l'chvusa. Right? You don't put these items, you can only use it for achila, but you don't use it for these other items. And the B.O.C. said, what? Really, muslim, you're allowed to use it for kivusa, and the Sharia, which means according to the Biyoseh, the rule of, like we repeat it again, the rule of Shemitah is all items that are Sheveh Lechol Nefesh. Right? If it's an item that normal people, that's the normal way of benefiting, it's going to have Kedushat Shevi'i to it. Therefore, like Achila, and you can have Kivusa, and Shiriyah, these are considered Hana'ot, Sheveh Lechol Nefesh. Therefore, the laws of Kedushat Shevi'i apply to it. And therefore, wood also, wood is considered Hana'ot, Sheveh Lechol Nefesh. However, Tanakama will say, no, Tanakama is only items that are Hana'atu bi'uro shaveh, like Achila. Right? The Torah says you can only eat. That's going to be, because Hana'ah and the bi'uro shaveh. But it seems that Hana'ah and the bi'uro not shaveh are not going to be subject. Very good. That is indeed the mahloket, Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef. Comes the Gemara for the man, Tanah, the Tanu Rabbanan. Who's the following author of the following Braita? Oh. It says Le'ochla, right? That the laws of the Kiddusha of Shvi'it. So it says Le'ochla, you're only allowed to eat. Ve'lo le'milugma, but you're not going to be allowed to use it for medicine. Le'ochla, again, you're allowed to eat it. Ve'lo le'ziluf. The ziluf is they would take the wine and would sprinkle it around the house in order to give it like a smell. They want to give the house a good smell, so you sprinkle the wine around the house. Le'ochla, ve'lo la'asot memena afiktuzin. You're not allowed to use the fruit of Shemitah as, let's say, a... Right, to cause a person to throw up. They would take it like a medicine in order to cause a person to throw up. Afiktuzin is actually a rashi tevot. It would stand for afik tafe zin, which means you're removing the excess food. So in any event, you cannot use it for those items also. Keman, well, who's this going like? Can it be Yoseh? Very good. Because the Biyoseh is the opinion that says what? That the laws of Shvi'it, while you're allowed to eat them, because eating is Shaveh Lechol Nefesh, but you're not allowed to do things that are not Shaveh Lechol Nefesh. So therefore, Milugma is not Shaveh Lechol Nefesh, Ziluf is not Shaveh Lechol Nefesh, and Fiktuzin is not. So therefore, this Braita must be going like Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbanan, because if it was going like the opinion of the rabbis, Ha'ika Nameh Mishra Uchbusa. Because according to the rabbis, even soaking is going to be Asur. Because the rabbis hold that what? Once it says, the pasuk over here, Le'ochla, they came along and said, only things that are Hana'ah and Bi'ur, that are happening simultaneously. But she'enken, if the Hana'ah and Bi'ur are happening simultaneously, you can't use that for the, you can't use it, you can't do it. And therefore, the Mishra and Kibusa also are going to be asur. So from the fact that the Braita did not discuss the isur of Mishra and Kivusa, must be Zdafka going like Rabbi Yosef and not Tanakama. So again, when Tanakama learned the words Le'ochla, you can only do things that are similar to Achila. What is items similar to Achila? Only items that the Hana'ah, right, and the bi'ur happen simultaneously. But if not, so it's going to be asur. That's why they were osir, mishra, and kevusa. Okay? Okay, we go further. Amar Rabbi El-Azhar, new point. Rabbi El-Azhar taught, in shvi'it mithallelet, the fruit of Shvi'it do not make money kadosh, which means when you buy, I'll give you an example, when you buy perot of Shvi'it, the kedushah of the Shvi'it goes to the money. Now the money that used to purchase perot Shvi'it becomes kadosh. Now, it should be noted that when it comes to Shvi'it, not only does the money become kadosh, but the actual fruit of Shemitah remains kadosh. See, when we're using the word hilul over here, it's different than the normal hilul. Normally we say hilul is you have kedushah, let's say maaser sheni. right? So you transfer the kedusha of the ma'asishini to a coin. Here when we discuss hilul, it just transfers and stays. Which means the kedusha of the shivrit always remains. You can never get the kedusha of shivrit off an item. You can only add an additional item to kedusha of shivrit. So the lashon hilul over here is, should not be confused with the normal hilul that we're used to hearing. Now, this is a type of hilul where it's transferring, but it remains on the item. So now we discuss. En shivrit betchalet ela derech mekach, which means the Shemitah Kedusha only transfers through purchase. That's according to the first opinion, which means you go buy an etrog, for example, we talked about, so the Kedusha now goes on the money, because it was a purchase. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, ben derech mikach, ben derech halul. Which means, no, you don't have to even purchase, even if you actually transfer it alone, which means if you said, I want the Kedusha of this Shemitah to go on this money, you were doing it yourself, you didn't purchase, still the Kedusha will transfer. So we have a fantastic machlok at Tanaim, how the Kedusha of Shemitah is transferred. My Tawad Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reason of Rabbi Eliezer why it says only through purchasing the Chtiv? It says, Bishnat HaYovel Azot. The Torah talks about the law of Yovel. Now, Yovel is the 50th year, the Jubilee year. That should be noted that the Jubilee year, the 50th year, has the law of Shemitah. So Shemitah and Yovel are actually equal. And right after the law of Shemitah, what is Yovel, what does it say? Usmich le vechi timkiru mimkar. It talks about a person purchasing something. So the Bnei Ezer says there must be a connection between the law of Yovel and the laws of purchasing. What's the connection? Derech mikach velo derech halul. It's teaching you that how does the money of become kadosh? Dafka, when you purchased Shemitah goods, that's how the money will become kadosh, but not through regular transferring. So again, the Bnei Ezer learns it from the fact that Torah juxtaposes the laws of mekach or memkar to the law of Yovel. To teach me what? That the fruit of Yovel, which is the fruit of Shemitah, how will that Kiddushah transfer? Through Mekah or Memkah, through a purchase. When you buy the fruit of Yovel or Shemitah, those monies will become Kadosh. For the Yohanan, my Tabas Levi Zavri Yohanan, Tichtiv, Ki Yovel Hi Kodesh. The Torah calls the fruit of Yovel Kodesh, holy. Ah, so what does that mean? Ma kodesh ben derech mikach ben derech halul, af shvi'id ben derech mikach ben derech halul. Just like kodesh, for example, you have a korban. A guy donates a korban to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, there's two ways for him to transfer the kedusha of that korban. Either he sells the korban to someone and the kedusha goes to the money, or he could actually do it himself, transfer the kedusha to the money. So therefore, since Yovel is called kodesh, it's treated like kodesh or korban. That's the machlokes between the Bnei Ezer and the Rabbi Yohanan. Also, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yohanan, hay v'chitim kerumim kal ma'avidle. What does Rabbi Yohanan do with the juxtaposition of the pasuk v'chitim keru mimkar? Right, he has the words v'chitim keru mimkar. What does he do? Which is, according to Rabbi Yehazeh, he learned dafka through mechira. However, according to Rabbi Yohanan, what does he do with the words mechira? He goes ben b'mechira, ben b'chilud. So comes the Gemara and says, mevayelich Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina. He uses it for the following dinah shamar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina. Bore, come and see, kama kashe abakash el shevi'it. Come and look how serious and severe the laws of Shemitah are. But not only the laws of Shemitah, avakash el shevi'it. That means even the small transgressions of shevi'it. Why? Adam nosev v'noten b'firot shivit. A guy, let's say, does business with the fruits of Shemitah. Lasof, what's going to happen to him? Mocher et metaltela v'etkelav. He's going to be forced to sell all his material possessions. Why? Because he's going to become poverty stricken because of it. Shne'emar, b'shnat ha-yovel hazot tashuvu ish l'chozato. It talks about the laws of Yovel. Usmik, and then it says what? V'chi temkiru memkar l'amidecha. It talks about selling goods. So it's teaching you that what? Someone doesn't keep the laws of Yovel, is him having to come sell his goods. And not only doesn't keep the laws of Shemitah, but even if it doesn't keep the small halakot, it's going to be causing to sell his goods. Oh, the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, Hai kirad Rabbi Yohanan may avidle, which is, what does it do with the word Kodesh? Rabbi Yohanan learned from the word Kodesh, it's like a Korban. Just like Korban, you can transfer the Kedusha either through a sale or through transferring Stam, so to the fruits of Shemitah. How does Rabbi Elazar learn the word Kodesh? So he says, Mevayel lechtetan, he uses it for the following berat, Ki yovel hi Kodesh. Ma kodesh tofes et damav, av shivi'i tofeset et dameha. which means Rabbi Elazar, he learns from the word Kodesh that the laws of fruit of Shemitah actually are subject to the law of transferring, which means, how do you know at all that the fruit of Shemitah you could transfer the Kiddushat to money? We're always taking it for granted. We just want to know, is it transferred through transaction or just stam? How do you know at all that the prenot of Shemitah are subject to any sort of transfer? So Rabbi Elazar says, I learned it from the word Kodesh. Which means, just to teach me the concept in general, that the fruit of Shemitah, you could transfer the Kiddushah to money, that I learned from the word Kodesh. And then I learned from the other Pasuk, Mekach Kiyimke, from the Pasuk of Kitib Kirumim Kalamiteka, how it happens. It's done through sale. So the Kodesh is step one. Couldn't teach me that the law in itself applies. Okay, good. So comes out again with a fantastic mahlok between Rabbi Eliezer or Elazar and Rabbi Yohanan regarding how the kiddushah of the Shemi'it fruit go to the money. Comes again with us and says, Tanya kibatid Rabbi Elazar, Tanya kibatid Rabbi Yohanan. We have a braita to support the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, as well as a braita to support the opinion of Rabbi Yohanan. Tanya kivatid Rabbi Elazar. We have a braita to support Rabbi Elazar. Because it says, Shivi'i tofeset et damea. But the fruit of Shivi'it, they're going to attach themselves to the money. Shine'emar, ki yoveli kodesh tiye lachem. Right? It's like kodesh. Ma kodesh tofeset damea. It's like a korban. The kiddushah of the korban goes to the money, the asur, and therefore you cannot benefit from that money anymore. Very good. So the Gemara says, "Ima kodesh tofes damav v'yotze lechodin." So hold it. When it comes to the korban, when the kiddushah of the korban goes to the money, what happens? The item of kodesh goes to chodin. It becomes mundane, which means by other items of transferring, you're actually transferring the kedusha from A to the money, to the B. However, what I think that's the way it works by shivirit, that when you transfer the kedusha, the shivirit to the money, the shivirit goes to cholin. Says now Tamud Omar tihiyeh. The pasuk says yoveli kodesh tihiyeh. It will remain exactly. It always remains as is. Which means, you're right, now you have two things that are Kodesh. The money, plus the fruit of Shemitah. And the Gemara gives an example. You took the fruit of Shemitah, and you bought with it basar. You bought meat. Both have to be destroyed in the Shemitah, which means there's the laws of bi'ud. After a certain time, you have to get rid of the fruit. That meat also is subject to those of bi'ur. You also have to get rid of it by a certain time. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you went further. Lakach babasar dagim. You sold the meat and you bought fish. Yatsa basar. Well, the kiddushah is going to go off the basar. V'nichnesu dagim. The kiddushah is going to go onto the fish. Lakach bedagim yayin. Now you sold the fish and you bought wine. Yatsu dagim v'nichnas yayin. Now the dagim will become Hulin, and the kiddushah goes on the yayin. Lakach ba yayin shemen. He sold the wine and you bought oil. Yatsa yayin v'nichnas shemen. What's the rule basically? Ha ketzad. What's the rule over here? Aharon nichnas b'shvi'it. Always the last item that you purchased, that's where the kiddushah shvi'it is going to hit. However, ufri atzmo asur. But the peri itself always remains asur. Now, who is this braita going? Like, this must be going to be Elazar, because it's only talking about purchasing, right? Lakach, you went, you purchased meat, you purchased this. According to Nabi Elazar, the only way you could transfer the kiddushah of the shivirit to the money is what? Through purchase. Yeah. So therefore, that braita is a support to Nabi Elazar. Now, we learned two other things on this braita. We also learned that what? We learned that the perot of shivirit remain kodesh. That's one thing we learn, that they can never take the perot of Shivi'it's Kiddushah off of it. And the second thing you learn is that as you sell the item, the Kiddushah keeps on transferring to the last item. Now we bring the proof. The Gemara is going to speak out the proof. Mideketani lakach, lakach. The fact that the blinder keeps on saying, you bought meat, and then with the meat you bought, why? She always uses the word bought, alma derech mikah in. Implying that only through purchasing, yes, derech elud, no, but just by a regular transfer, no. Now we bring a blinder to support Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Tanikevate, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Braita to support the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. Ehad Shevi'it ve'ehad Ma'asir Sheni. Whether it's the fruit of Shemitah or the foods of Ma'asir Sheni, mithalelin al behema haya va'of. You're allowed to transfer the Kiddusha to animals or birds, poultry, ben hayin, ben shechutin. Whether the animals are alive or whether the animals were slaughtered, you can transfer the Kiddusha. Devre Rabbi Meir. V'achamim omrim al shechutin mithalelin. Now you can only transfer the Kiddusha on animals that were slaughtered. Al hayin el mithalelin. Gezera shema yigadel men adarim. We're concerned that if you're going to transfer the Kiddushah, for example, of Ma'asir Sheni onto live animals, we're worried you're going to say, you know what? These animals are still alive. Let me put them in my herd. Let me produce more. Now, once they have the Kiddushah Ma'asir Sheni on them, you can't use them anymore for personal use anymore to produce more animals. So therefore, the rabbis made a Gezera. You can only transfer Kiddushah Ma'asir or Shevi'it on animals that were slaughtered already. Because then already you have no choice. You have to eat them. But you're not going to be able to put them on live animals. What do you see from over here? That here, you're not selling anything. You're just transferring the Kiddusha from the Perot of Shevi'it or Ma'asir Sheni to an animal. So what do you see from here? That you don't need necessarily sale. Which means even by a regular transfer, the Kiddusha will go. So you see a Braita and the support of Rabbi Yohanan. Okay. Look at Rashi, last Rashi on the daf. Shem yigdal mehem. Right, we're worried that you might leave them to you know, produce offspring. Yeshem etzno legadel veladot. Right, to produce offspring. You're going to end up leaving your maaser by you. Now, what's the problem with leaving maaser by you? The Torah amra shana shana. Every year you have to eat according to the masot, meaning let's say you left your masot for 2 years, you have to catch up by the third year. That's why there's a certain ritual, vidui ma'asid, and in the third year you have to come along and settle up with all your obligations. And you have to confess. Now, so that's the reason why we don't want you to take your ma'asid and put it on a live animal. Because we're concerned that you might end up leaving it longer than you're allowed, and you're going to end up being isur. We're worried that by the shivi'it, you're going to use these animals that you put the kiddushah of shivi'it on them to become rich. We know that the law of Shemitah, you're not allowed to do business with them. You have to leave them abandoned. Which means, you have a certain amount of time you can benefit from them. But after a certain amount of time, when there's no more of those fruits in the fields, you got to get rid of it. So Hachamim said, I don't want you to transfer the Kiddushah Shevi'it to a live animal, because you're going to end up keeping it. And you're going to use it for business to become rich. Torah says you can't use it to become rich. You have to actually get rid of it after a certain time, because it's not for Sahura. So that's why the rabbis say you can only put it on the animals that are slaughtered. But what do you see from here? That they do allow a transfer even outside of a sale. Mekal Memka. So therefore, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yohanan. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.